Our scripture text comes today from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 10. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. This is the word of the Lord.
I've got 11:02 on my watch. It's amazing the things that people tell their pastors on Sunday morning. We had a nephew at 8 o'clock that texted the uncle how short the sermon was at the 8 o'clock service. And that uncle is concerned that there's a baseball team that has first pitch at 11:35. The things I learn. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love and your wisdom. We thank you for the connections we have with one another. We thank you for humor. We thank you for faithfulness. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would help us interact with the scripture this morning, that we would be strengthened to glorify you. In Christ's name, amen. One aspect of being a preacher is I am always on the look for the next sermon illustration. I'm always kind of observing, listening, and aware. And it's an additional blessing when there are people of the congregation that know, you know, I can't be everywhere. And so they turn into me what they've experienced. And so if you look on page 5 of the bulletin, you'll see the sermon outline. And I've included in there the content of a text I received a few months ago. And it says, as two service techs walked through the sanctuary, part of their conversation was overheard and then shared with me for a future sermon. If you're wondering how two techs can be walking through the sanctuary, who can overhear them? On Friday afternoon, we have Jocelyn sitting up in the balcony getting everything ready for the screen. They didn't know she was up there, and she overheard what I share. One of the techs commented on the beauty of the ceiling, and then he proceeded to say, I guess that's what 10% of everyone's income will get you. A really pretty place to pray. After exchanging a few more words, the conversation ended with the comment, why pay so much to come to pray when you can pray at home for free? I'm grateful for that conversation. I'm grateful that it was shared with me, and I've been thinking about it off and on for a few months now. I included the content of that text I received so that you can read it, you can reflect on it, and consider any messages that you might glean from its content. I mean, it's a short, innocent kind of conversation, but in terms of illustrating for a sermon, it has a lot of depth to it. And some of the ponderings I've come away with is, what is the purpose and need for a church building? I mean, I'd love to live in a climate where we could just worship outside. Wouldn't that be great? I've been to several countries, and even where it's warm, they have to put up some kind of structure for sunshade. We need the building to gather together because of the weather. We also use the building to gather together for worship, for Christian education, for fellowship. Why a church building that looks so nice? We'll come back to that. Is tithing just about the building? Is everything that's in those offering plates just taking care of this building? No, it's not. Or can we reduce our faith just to the money that we give? Is this sanctuary only about prayer? Realizing that prayer is often a way that people talk about the whole experience of worship. And then, not really faith-based, but are our homes free? I mean, you were just given your home, and you can go and pray for free at your home, but didn't you have to pay for that home or the upkeep of that home? Can we only pray at home and only at church? Lots of those are my questions that I'm still trying to figure out at all, and I'm going to attend on some of that this morning. But I pick up and show you this red book. I share that because I went back to Genesis 28 in Jacob's dream, following the time when Jacob tricked his father and he took the blessing instead of his older brother Esau. And then there was some friction, and Jacob's mother didn't want him to marry a woman of that area, and so sent him off to other parts of the family. Well, on that trip, Jacob spent one night, and he had that dream of that stairway resting on the ground and reaching up into heaven. Well, the next morning was when Jacob woke up, and we've read these verses at the beginning of the service. When he woke up from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." Have you ever been in a place and not really aware that God is there? Now, that may seem kind of strange, because the Bible teaches us that God is everywhere. We can't go anywhere that God has not already been or God is not. But if we're not tuned in to God, we may experience places where we're not aware that God is there. Jacob became aware. He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." So I hold up this little red book. It says St. John's, Archbold, Ohio, created in 1966 by then pastor Nathan Werwill. And once the original part and the addition was completed with all its symbolism, he put this red book together. We still have about 100 copies, so if you want to borrow one and read about the stained glass window, why are there 6 candles, why the red rosettes on the altar, it's all in here. And on the first page, do you know what he quotes? Genesis 28:17. "This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." Now, a building is not going to bring somebody to salvation, or could it? We are situated on a great corner in this lovely little town of Archbold, and we have lots of people that come looking for help. We have people walking in, they just want to pray with the pastor. They want to have a pastor pray for them. Nowadays, we get more phone calls, but they know the church is a place where they can be helped. They know the church is a place where you can get prayer said for you. And when we have those interactions, I've been pumping a few tanks of gas recently, and just as standing at the gas pump, we have little conversations about the faith. And they came to me because of where I pastor. So in a sense, the church, in all of its beauty, in all of its symbolism, I mean, you know, the words that are above the main entrances of the church, the artwork is at those entrances. The artwork throughout the building, it speaks that this is none other than the house of God, a gateway to heaven. You know, the spire, the tower that reaches to the heavens, it's not that high up, although not too many people want to go that high anymore. none other than the house of God. There is something about the structure that says this is a church. And we gather to worship, we gather to pray. And the beauty of all of this strikes us. It struck the two texts that we're walking through, the beautiful ceiling. It struck them, and then they had some questions. The discovery guide. It's what we as St. John's, we try to promote for daily devotional. So if you don't have one and you want one, there are copies of the Discovery Guide on a table in the narthex. The last several days, the Discovery Guide has been looking at the construction of the tabernacle. Back in the books of Exodus, there's only one book of Exodus, in the chapters of Exodus 26 through 31, the Lord is describing how the tabernacle, the portable temple, was supposed to be built and put together, and how it was going to be equipped, using all kinds of materials, all kinds of cloth and wood, and all kinds of artistic ways of saying, this is the house of God. This building was built through the dedication, the faith, the faithfulness, the stewardship, the labor, the talents, and the artistic talents of the congregation and the company that they contracted to build with, to build the building. It's been a blessing in my life to know many of the people that served on the building committee and to know many in the congregation that not only gave to the construction of this edifice, but also helped. I don't know that back in 1957 or 1966, I don't know how prevalent OSHA was, but there were plenty of people of the congregation that were digging the footers of this sanctuary. There were people that painted. There were people that wired this building. There were people that decorated the building. And they didn't do that because they had that gift. They were led by God to help in building this edifice. They were sharing their talents not only with God, not only the congregation, but everybody that would some way come to this building or learn of this building. As I considered and reflected on the words of that text that I was sent several months ago, I studied the scriptures to try and figure out what passage of scripture could I use to kind of illustrate what those texts might want to know further. And I ultimately settled on what we've heard from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Though its focus in chapter 3 is on divisions in the church, through its use of construction imagery, I hope to share a little bit about this in this whole situation of that conversation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It's the whole chapter is addressing a lack of spiritual discernment amongst the people. And there's a stress on the importance of working correctly for the Lord, of doing it right. As Jesus Christ laid the foundation, we have to build correctly upon that foundation. And it's not supposed to be dependent upon human wisdom, but upon God's heavenly wisdom. In verse 1, there's this division between the spiritual and the worldly. Spiritual understanding, hopefully you grasp the significance and the meaning of this sanctuary. Now, I don't want to cast aspersions on those two texts that we're having a conversation, but they might have been coming at the look of this from a worldly perspective. Although it was good to hear their desire to pray. And I hope they are praying in their homes. But then verse 10, by the grace of God. Doesn't that encompass all aspects of life? By the grace of God. If we think we are the ones that have produced something, we have caused something, we have to step back and say what Paul says, by the grace of God. And by that grace, Paul laid a foundation of an expert builder, but he built upon the foundation that Jesus Christ had already laid. Paul recognizes he's not the only builder. He's talking about Apollos in the verses up to. Someone else is building on that foundation, the building of the church. It's not just Paul, it's the disciples, it's every generation since then. In verse 11, Paul makes it very plain. The foundation of faith, the foundation of the church is already laid in Jesus Christ. The person and the work, the person, the ministry, the teaching, the sacrifice, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the foundation that has been laid that the Christian church must build upon. And then verse 12, it talks about the precious materials or the unworthy materials that might be used to build. The precious, the gold, the silver, the costly stones. Others will build with unworthy materials like wood or hay or straw. Those precious articles might have been how the temple was built. There were aspects of that within that first tabernacle. In the building of the church must build on the life of Jesus Christ, upon the wisdom and the grace of God, not our own human wisdom. So when we are using precious stones, when we are using gold and silver, we are paying attention to what God wants us to do. As we go through a facility committee one more time, you know, as we start to think about what's going to look like, what's going to happen, we have to build as what God wants us to build with those things that are going to last. Faith in faith in faith. In verse 13, no matter what material you use to build, the builder's work will be shown for what it is. Now, I'm building a little garden shed, and this wasn't in the 8 o'clock service, so here's an extra 2 minutes at this service, sorry. I'm building a little garden shed at home, and I got finally to putting the doors on yesterday, and the building is not level because it's just on the ground. And it, you know, the freeze-thaw kind of changed it, and so I had to jack up one edge, and I had to put a spacer underneath the one side of the door, and now the doors swing perfectly. That spacer I used was untreated pine. If I leave it there for too long, the doors aren't going to open up. I have to change that, but that's all I had in the moment, and I wasn't going to make one more trip to Menards just to get a pressure-treated piece of wood. I'm not going to even use wood. I'm going to use something else so that it will last. So we want to be building with the right materials. And how we build will be shown for what it is. Is the building built by ourselves, or is the building built by God? And Paul begins this change in talking about a building to talking about ourselves, our own temple. In verse 13, Paul introduces the aspect of fire, which is a purifying agent. That fire is going to test the quality of each person's work. So in 6 months, I want someone to come out and check my shed to see if I change that pine to something more permanent, or will my wife not be able to open the shed doors when she has to get out the mower? It's going to be shown. Well, when we are in the fire of faith, when we are tested by the world, how strong we are built on the foundation of faith makes a difference. As caring people, lots of people have asked me since Thursday, how is Judy doing? That's concern. And the more and more as I know people, Judy's doing okay. She is a person of faith. Had some good conversations before the surgery and afterwards. And as a person of faith in this test, she is resting firmly and securely on the foundation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, she also knows she's not the only one that's going through this journey, and she has other people in her life, in her church, to encourage and support in those moments where it seems she is being overwhelmed. The tests of life will test the foundation. but remembering that Jesus Christ does not change. That foundation is strong and secure. And then in verses 16 and 17, Paul gets very specific. You are God's temple, and God's Spirit lives in you. So as we think about building the building, those texts are correct. We can pray at home. We can pray driving down the road with your eyes open. We can pray wherever we might be. But there's also something about the desire of the temple gathering together in worship like what we are experiencing this morning. You yourselves, Paul writes, you yourselves, it's plural, coming together. The spiritual temple of God, collectively as the church, as individuals. Paul writes about the individual temple that we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. And then he closes in verse 17, God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. What makes the church a temple? It's the Spirit of God dwelling within the church. It's the Spirit of God dwelling within Christian believers. The temple, the sanctuary, it is the dwelling place of God in our hearts and collectively as a congregation. And then Paul goes on in verses 18 and 19 to say, do not deceive yourselves. If any one of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool so that he may become wise. There was a time long ago where I thought I knew it all. I mean, I was pretty smart. I was pretty wise. I knew all of the answers. And God made me a fool. I can go to specific places, specific conversations where I realized I'm living by human wisdom, not by God's wisdom. There's still plenty of times, too often, when my wisdom kind of takes in. But the stronger I have built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, it is God's wisdom. It is God's wisdom that leads us in life. The wisdom of the world is foolishness in God's sight. Those two texts, I do pray for them. I'll never know who they were. But the wisdom of the world is foolishness in God's sight. I pray that as they think about their prayer, as they think about this place, I pray that they will have a greater understanding of God's foundation in Jesus Christ. I pray that for them. I pray that for all of us. Glory be to God. Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is number 276. Christ is made the sure foundation. Following a spoken benediction, we will sing Sanctuary. It's in your bulletin as an insert. If you're able, please arise.
if you would do one housekeeping thing for me, that would be great. I know you try to pick up after yourselves every Sunday, but if you could make sure any bulletins and that kind of stuff were picked up for this afternoon's memorial service. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Depart in his love and peace. Amen.